Hello, friends, and welcome to Happy Healthy Human Radio. I'm your host, Samantha Attard, coming at you from the beautiful Washington, D.C. We're sharing today some notes and lessons on pregnancy. I'm now at 20 weeks and have lots of thoughts and things to share that have come up both for my pregnancy as well as when I'm coaching and speaking with other moms. So hope you get a lot of useful, wonderful tips out of this, whether you are currently pregnant, have been pregnant, or are thinking about being pregnant in the future, or if you know someone that's pregnant, because it's also really nice to understand what people are going through, to understand all of the different crazy changes that are happening, both physically and mentally, especially if you haven't known a lot of people that have been pregnant that are close to you. It's really nice to kind of just get a better sense of what's happening, because it's unlike anything else. It's like anything, unlike anything else that you could possibly experience. So, So I'm really excited to talk with you all about that today. That also reminds me, if you're pregnant or you know someone who is, I'm teaching a workshop over at Take Care Shop next Thursday. That's June 27th. And it's all about preparing mind and body for labor. So we're using a lot of the things that I would talk about with my clients when I was as a doula. And as well as a prenatal yoga teacher, and then also, of course, some of the things I've been picking up now that I'm actually pregnant as well, so that's also been really helpful. It's going to be a wonderful night. TakeCareShopDC.com is where you can grab your tickets, 6 to 8 p.m., June 27th. It's going to be a really wonderful night, tons of like community and joy and conversation. You're going to walk away with some really beautiful strategies as well as exercises that you can do as you go leading up to your labor so that you can be really prepared, both mind and body. So that's June 27th, TakeCareShopDC.com. Hope you can make it out. Beyond that, let's talk about this. So pregnancy, 20 weeks, yay! Baby's getting bigger. If you've seen me, you've noticed. but like still feeling really good and just buying lots of new clothing has been the interesting piece. Amazingly enough, yoga clothes is one of the hardest pieces that I'm having. And it is that great reminder of like, hey, Nike, Adidas, all of these sports brands, we would really love some pregnancy wear. Like there's no pregnancy lines for a lot of these. And so instead you're left with some of the more cheaper options for like leggings and tops. And I'm going to be honest, I've had a lot of see-through leggings that I've tried on in dressing rooms or ordered to my house, and it's getting pretty annoying. So still work in progress, but just another reminder of like to those sports companies and to these activewear companies, like we need good pregnancy stuff because pregnant women are active, super strong. I am spinning 20 to 30 minutes every day, which feels fabulous. Up about 2 yoga classes a week, which also feels really good, and is a really nice balance for my body, plus walking a ton. So, you know, I could use some good active wear. Just gonna say it. Fabulous. So feeling really good. We're doing our anatomy scan tomorrow, which is super exciting. Other things that I've learned and things that have been coming up over the last few weeks. A big question that came up when I was working with a client the other day who's pregnant, and I'm just realizing that this is an issue that comes up with a lot of people, is how to get your partner involved, right? And whether it's same-sex or heterosexual, I think it can be really hard because you, as the pregnant person, are like sitting there living with this baby 24/7. Like I can maybe have like 2 or 3 hours sometimes that'll go by without me remembering that I'm pregnant, but it doesn't last that long, and the times in between are getting shorter and shorter, especially like as you get hungry or you like run into your belly or whatever it is. And so it's hard to put ourselves in the shoes of the non-pregnant person who kind of can forget about it for a bunch of hours or not be involved or not know how to be involved. I think the biggest thing that I learned from my doula work, and one of the biggest surprises I'll say, is how little boys, men are taught about pregnancy and childbirth. I mean, it's not a huge surprise, but when I say it out loud, but it was kind of amazing to realize how much you just pick up, whether it's your own personal reading for understanding your own body as a woman, or people, women talk about it. An aunt was pregnant, your mom was pregnant, like a friend, a cousin, like you just kind of get more immersed in this culture where boys aren't necessarily, and they don't know what to do. They don't know how to help. They don't know what's going to help or hurt. And there can be a lot of confusion about what's going to be good and what's not going to be good. So if you're trying to get your partner more involved, because that's also, it feels nice if your partner's involved. One, a lot less lonely. Two, it's nice to have some help. So if you're thinking about how to get your partner more involved, really one of the first steps is to also get to know your baby really well and to spend some time, not just, hey, I'm a pregnant person, but hey, there's like a little growing human inside of me that is going to be like my kid. Like, how cool is that? And we have a very busy world. It's really easy to, you know, kind of dedicate all of that extra time that that you might have had in your pre-pregnancy life to registry items and making more food and going to doctor's appointments. Like, these are just still more things externally that you have to do versus actually spending time connecting with your baby. So I'm going to say, first off, it can sometimes feel silly, especially when you're 8 weeks, 9 weeks, 10 weeks. You can't even felt the baby yet. You're like, I don't even know. I just kind of have a little bit of a belly right now, and I don't know if there's anything actually going on in there. Sometimes it can feel silly, but it's also so incredibly important. I've been reading a lot with Cal Newport these days. He has a book called Digital Minimalism, and he talks about this idea of solitude, and solitude is when we are free of other people's minds. So if you're listening to music, or you're listening to a podcast, or you're reading a book, or you're doing social media, like, someone else's mind is involved. If you're at a doctor's appointment and like the doctor's talking to you, that's someone else's mind. If you're in a meeting and someone's talking to you, that's someone else's mind. Solitude, you can still be around people, but it's just you without inputs of other people. And I think this piece is so critical for creating connection and space with your baby. If there's no time for solitude in your day, then there's not time for those connections, and there's not time to breathe and be with baby. And so first off, finding those moments, whether it is first thing in the morning, when you're laying in bed at night, if you have a meditation practice, after work, during work, whatever it is, when's a time that you can like throw a hand on your belly and say, hey, dude, or girl, or whoever you are, like, how's it going today? How you feeling? Like, love you. Like, happy Tuesday. It's raining today, or you know what I mean? Whatever it is. And it might sound silly. It might seem so incredibly weird, right? Like, sometimes I sit around and sing with my baby, and I'm like, this is odd. I really feel like I'm singing with someone, but it's kind of just me in this house. It's just me. And so it can feel weird, but it's actually really important because, and this is how we bring it back to the partner work, because one, it gives you a sense of connection, which is, I think, really important as we go into labor, which we can talk more about at a later point, but this is really great labor prep to be connected to your baby. And then two, you get to know your baby better. You're more invested in the thing in your belly, not just in the crib you have to buy. And as a result, you have more to share and invite for your partner, right? So if you don't spend time with your hand on your belly talking to your baby, why are you going to expect your partner to, right? So, you know, if I have spent this time, I mean, I'm amazed because actually the first, oh my gosh, 10, 15 times that I felt the baby kick, they were always in yoga classes. I was always either taking or teaching yoga when I felt the baby move, right? And so I needed that quiet to even experience it. And then that was what allowed me to like understand, oh, that's what a kick is, okay. And then to be able to say like, hey, Sean, like the baby is kicking sometimes. Like here, come feel. Like he does it. Like let's see, right? Like so I was able to invite him to that because I had experienced it. And it has more of that ability to share and to share experiences and invite because it's something you've already done, right? Like because I sing with my baby all the time, Like, I will also sing with my baby in front of Sean. And I'll be like, yeah, Sean, he's like, come on, like, time for you to do the chorus. Let's go. Like, you know what I mean? So because I do that with myself, I can invite him into that experience as well. And he might not have thought of it on his own. Not because he doesn't care, very invested, but because, I don't know, like, whoever told boys they should sing to their babies? I don't know. If you're doing something different, I have a good friend who just had a baby, and she and her husband would read. They had a little child's book, like a little baby book. It was, you know, 2 minutes, 3 minutes, and they read the book to the baby every night. And that's what they did together with the baby. Like, how beautiful. It took 3 minutes of their day, and it's a beautiful connection point for them as well as for them and their baby, and it just made some space for that. So recognizing that they probably do want to be involved, they might not know how, and that you can, the more you know yourself, the more you can share. And so the more that you give time for that solitude and that connection, the more time and opportunity you have to share that with your partner. A really beautiful thing. I'll also mention this one thing that it comes from Spinning Babies. If you've not heard of Spinning Babies, it's an amazing website and method of helping getting babies in the optimal fetal position for labor. So getting your baby in a place that makes it easier to come out of you during labor. Really amazing stuff. They have great exercises on their website. A lot of them are for later on in pregnancy, about 22 weeks and later, in preparation for putting the baby in the right position. But there is this one technique that you can do all throughout pregnancy. And I will say this is the best feeling thing ever. And it's so funny. Well, I'll explain more. So it's called standing release. So that's the technique. It's called a standing release. So spinningbabies.com, standing release. I'm going to put link to it in the show notes. And basically what you do is, as the pregnant person, you can kind of lean up against a wall. So you stand facing a wall about a foot away, bend the knees a little bit and put the hands against the wall so you lean slightly forward. And then someone else, your partner or someone else, puts one hand basically on your tailbone, maybe just a little higher, and then one hand on the super low belly. And you want their hands to be incredibly light. So they're like really softly touching. They're not trying to press or massage or move. They just have like this, like the teensiest amount of pressure on, like the teensiest amount of touch on the tailbone and the low belly. And my friends, it is amazing because like as soon as Sean goes and like puts his hands there, literally my entire belly softens and like the baby, like, how do I say this? Like my belly expand like 3 inches, 4 inches. Like Sean like feels it like fall into his hands. It is so funny. And it feels so good. So what it's doing is actually it's helping release all the fascia in the low belly. All the stuff that's keeping all tight up and is super, can be tied up and feel uncomfortable. It softens all of that out. And just feels delightful. And all it is this gentle touch. And we do the standing release most mornings, you know, right before Sean goes to work. And it's again, this beautiful little connection point. And it feels amazing. And it's like, thank you. You are helping me so much with my pregnancy. So it's been a really great thing to do. My belly tends to release pretty quickly, like within 10 to 15 seconds. I've heard from the Spinning Babies website that it can take longer. So your belly might not relax right away, but I would really focus on making sure the partner is holding softly, that it feels comfortable, and then that you are also just saying, okay, let me relax, 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 and it'll expand. It is so, so, so crazy. So that's some word on a lot of stuff. I mean, that's huge. Getting your partner involved, taking time for solitude with your baby, and doing, you know, what speaks to you. If you're not, like, I love music. It's like one of my number one loves in this world is music. So it makes sense that I love singing with my baby. But for you, that might be something different. Maybe it is reading, or maybe it's just talking, or maybe you paint with your baby and like, oh, baby, we're doing a tree now, you know, whatever it is, or taking walks. That's another big one that that I did, especially towards the beginning of, okay, we're going to take a walk today. And it's like, this is a walk with baby. I'm not going to try to listen to a podcast. I'm not going to try to make a phone call. Like, I'm just going to like tell you when I see a squirrel and it's going to be great. pregnancy community, prenatal community. This is huge. I am so grateful. You know, I'm really lucky. I have a few friends and my sister that are all pregnant right now. And that's really helped to feel like I'm not the only one. And, you know, to have that moment, because I get nervous, especially if I'm like talking to people that don't have kids or aren't interested in kids. I don't want to bore them with like how my heartburn is doing that day. And I have delightful people in my life. They're all happy to hear about my heartburn if that's like the biggest thing that is happening in my life. But it is really nice to sometimes be able to share that with a pregnant person and have them be like, like hanging on your every word as you talk about your heartburn, or sharing the five things that help them with their heartburn, or, you know, getting to hear from them about, oh yeah, no, mine went away around 17 weeks, but then it came back at 32, or, you know, whatever it is. There's something really, really, really beautiful about that. And again, I'm grateful that I have some friends and family that are pregnant right now. But another beautiful, unexpected place, only unexpected because it's kind of, it's my work, is in my prenatal yoga class. You know, I kind of thought, yeah, I mean, there's the teacher, but it'll be just so nice to hear about everyone else and focus in on them. But it's been really delightful to have that connection with a bunch of wonderful pregnant people that I wouldn't have known otherwise. And it's really nice because it helps diversify experiences in kind of the same way that I love working with a coach, because they're not so invested in your stories, meaning, how do I say this? Like my sister, my sisters, like I've known them forever, right? And they know me better than anyone, and they're delightful, wonderful humans, and we have a really close relationship. But, you know, they also, they know 10-year-old Sam, they know 7-year-old Sam, they know 14-year-old Sam. There's a lot of baggage that can come along with that. And sometimes it's really nice having a conversation with someone that doesn't know you. So what's a good example of this? Of like, if you're talking about something that's not feeling good, they're not going to say, oh gosh, Sam, I know you're always sick. It's always a problem. It's always a thing. My sisters would never say that to me. I'm just throwing that out there. But instead they can just say, oh gosh, I'm so sorry you're feeling that way. Like, what's going on? Right? Like, there's no preconceived old stuff about who you are, what you're experiencing, or any of that. Basically, everyone should go to prenatal yoga. It feels so good. It feels so, so good. It's nice to move slow, to move steadily, to not overstretch, to have a community. It's, and to breathe, talk about solitude with baby. It feels awesome. So get yourself some pregnant people. If you don't have anyone in your life, find a class, find a group. Pregnant people are very welcoming because they all want to talk about what they're experiencing, because we're all just craving more people that we can talk to about what we're experiencing. Go for it. Another piece of this is there's a big room for compassion about yourself, about how you're eating, about how you're moving, about your energy levels. This is kind of a continuation of what I talked about in my last pregnancy update. It can be really hard to feel so many changes in your body and to have to throw out a lot of the things that you used to do in order to keep yourself feeling great. Like, for example, I was not a big snacker. I felt better if I did not snack all day and rather really had three nice meals, really had nice full meals, felt good, like maybe a small afternoon snack if needed. Like, that was it. And now I have two breakfasts, two lunches, a dinner, an after-dinner snack, probably a pre-dinner snack, right? Like, my world has changed. And that can be a lot. That can be really hard. And it can feel like, what am I doing? Like, who is this person? And so there's really room for softness. And something that I'm really inviting is then making, I don't want to say rules, but making lines and bright lines on things that are work and are doable. So there's kind of like this testing out phase. So, you know, there's a couple weeks where I'm like, oh my God, I'm like not eating any vegetables, am I? Like, oh wow, like this is how I'm eating. Okay, this is what feels good in my body. Is there any way I can tweak? Is there anywhere that there's room for some more health, some better outcomes? So one example is, since I sometimes don't get enough vegetables, or I feel like I'm not eating a lot of vegetables just because of what is appealing to me and what's available and just what food's around, I make popsicles with this fruit and vegetable juice. So like I'm having, like right now, these ones, they don't taste that great. I had another ones that tasted very, very good. There was like a carrot juice. This one is like, they're like beet, kale, apple. So there's some kale and there's some beet in it. And like, that's what I eat after dinner and it feels delightful. And I can just be like, yes, got a little more vegetables in today. Go you. Yes. Or if I make a smoothie, yeah, I want it to only be banana and strawberry, but a handful of spinach like really goes a long way. Great. Yes. One handful of spinach. Go me. You know, maybe it's something different for you. I personally haven't really experienced this. I think just because I haven't eaten in a really long time, but I know a lot of women that are like suddenly called to like fast food and that kind of stuff. You know, ask yourself what would replace that, right? Like, okay, I know I'm craving a chicken nugget, but like, could I just like buy some regular chicken from Whole Foods? Like, you know, it already cooked a rotisserie chicken or whatever it is. Like, are there other options? Do I just need a different kind of snack during the day? Could I bring some like salty pretzels and cheese, you know, instead of going to fast food? So like, look for those minor tweaks, those places where kind of you're eating something just because there's nothing else or because it's a really in the moment craving versus something that has been building and something that you really need and that you know feels good. I picked this up from my good friend that just had a baby. She's like, you know, I kind of let the cravings like lie around for like a day or two. And if they're still there, then I'll act on them. Because yes, every time I walk past a bakery, I'm like, donut, want a donut. But like later in the day, I really don't care about it. I really don't want it there. And you know, if I just acted on that donut impulse every time, oh gosh, I don't know how I would be feeling. But if a craving like lasts for a day or two, then I'll explore it. Then I'll see what it is. Recently, this last week, all I've been able to think about is iced coffee with like a bunch of cream and sugar. I don't have caffeine in my life. I don't have milk in my life, obviously. Like, but I see a Dunkin' Donuts iced coffee and I'm like, oh my God, that's the thing. And so this weekend, so like, it's going to be a couple days because of how life is going. I'm gonna go. I'm gonna take myself out for a really nice decaf iced almond milk latte in the city. It's gonna be great. I'm gonna enjoy it so much. It's gonna feel wonderful, and way better than trying to get a bunch of, you know, drinking a 20 ounce iced coffee every day, right? Which I don't know how that would really go for me. So letting cravings build is a really beautiful thing. Mm-hmm. Another thing that's really interesting that I've noticed, because we all are, if you're pregnant, are probably experiencing a lot of tiredness, lack of energy. I've realized that my energy does not really fluctuate with the amount of physical activity. Okay, my energy doesn't really fluctuate with my amount of physical activity. Meaning, a day that I walk 1,000 steps, I don't necessarily feel way more energized than a day I walk 10,000. Or again, I mentioned the last few weeks that I ride my Peloton, my spin bike for 20 or 30 minutes, right? Like my heart rate goes up. I sweat a bunch. Like you'd think, man, on those days I would be wiped. No, those days I feel exactly the same as any other day. What? I know. So there's another room to, more room to run some experiments with yourself of how does your energy feel based on the activity that you're getting. Again, like I said, for me, 1,000 steps, 10,000 steps feels no different. No biking, 30 minutes of biking, no different. Going to yoga class, not going to yoga class, no different. I do, though, here's something, though. If I get too many steps, if I start going 13,000, or if I stay walking or standing for like an hour and a half, then I start to feel a difference. So I have some like little like notice points. It's like, for example, if like we're walking around on a weekend and I'm like, oh shoot, like we're at 13,000 steps. Like I'll say to Sean, I'm like, okay, Sean, just so you know, like we're going to go home soon. Like we gotta stop soon. Like things have to change soon, because that's a point where I know things start to not feel good. So doing some little tests with yourself, say, okay, what happens if I get on the bike for 5 minutes? Or what happens if I go to a prenatal yoga class? Or if I take a 20-minute walk after lunch? Does that change things? Because probably there's room for more activity than you think. And it's just a matter of figuring out what your balance is and when you have to stop. So what did we cover today? What are we knowing about 20 weeks pregnancy? What have we learned? Find time for you. Find time for you and baby to create a connection, to be really together, even if it's for 3 minutes a day. In doing that, you're going to make more space for your partner to be involved. And definitely get going on doing your standing release technique from spinning babies, because it feels amazing. Get a pregnancy prenatal community or a prenatal yoga class or group somewhere where you can talk pregnancy and baby and not feel bad about it. And then also start to look at food and exercise. Food, where can you make tweaks to bring more health and feel more like you? So you can be proud of how you're eating and how you're taking care of your baby. I always think about the add more rather than trying to take away. So like add more kale, add more vegetable, add more fruit. And then if there are some takeaways that need to happen, investigate what they are and let cravings, like maybe setting a rule of like, if I've been wanting something for 24 hours, 48 hours, then I'll take it and indulge in it. But not if it's just an immediate, I smelled pizza and now I want pizza. Because of course you smell pizza and now you want pizza, right? And then same for activity. Start to test what does feel good in your body. Of course, add incrementally. Of course, add slowly. Of course, do things that are safe for you and baby. But noticing that perhaps you're not as tired as you thought you were, and that there's still room for activity, even with your current plan. Thank you so much for listening. Thank you for being a part of this community. Thank you for all the well wishes and love as I go through this beautiful journey. And again, if you are pregnant or know anyone that is, come on out on the 27th. It's going to be a really great workshop over at Take Care Shop in Georgetown. Have a wonderful day, my friends.